You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
That was some great singing. Thank you, Ben. Levi. That was Levi's last set, right? Yeah. And Nathan going to Notre Dame, so what a great talent. Well, the last time I was the chapel speaker was August 20th. That was 36 weeks ago to the day, probably to the minute, actually. 36 weeks, wow. A lot has happened in 36 weeks. Certainly a tragic death that has confused us. But also many joyful and great memories. And they'll always stay with us. And I want to remember those. You remember, we started the semester with a theme. And it came from John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And to kind of commemorate the theme, if you remember, we handed out zipper pulls. The zipper pull had a design that kind of reminded us of that. And I was reminded this morning that I still don't have the tattoo. I'm scared. Maybe. Do you still have the zipper pulls?
Yeah.
I have a $100 Amazon gift card to the person who can bring to me 3 zipper pulls. Did anybody come close?
Oh, yeah.
Jacob, I have a consolation prize for you. All right. Use it well. And don't be sparing with that, okay? Well, for those of you graduating, I cannot wait to shake your hand and give you your diploma a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm surprised you're in chapel. For the rest of you, it will now be 16 weeks before we sit in this auditorium together. And again, yes, I counted. 16 weeks exactly, probably to the minute. So as we take this break away from the intense academic rhythms of college life, I want to remind you again of that verse, the verse behind that design. And I want to particularly emphasize, he must increase. Do you notice, just by God's grace, the first songs that we sang said, he must be magnified. He must increase. One of the most important ways you can make sure you continue to magnify Christ is to worship. Worship him. And I want to help you think about that, and I'm going to do so by using a 4-letter word. And by showing you a picture that has never been seen in public. Now, if you're listening to this and not in here, please stay with us, because that really sounds awkward. When I say to you that I'm going to challenge you with a way to worship God, I wonder if some of you immediately said, oh, yeah, I'll go to church or pray, go to Bible study. Those are great things, and I wholeheartedly hope you do those things. But that's not the 4-letter word I'm thinking of. So maybe you've guessed love. Well, sure, please be loving to others this summer. And that's an act of worship, but that's not the word. Pray, sing, give, read, all good letter, 4-letter words, but not the one I'm thinking of. The 4-letter word probably doesn't even seem like an act of worship to you, but I promise you it is. As a matter of fact, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word used for worship comes from this word. Okay, I've teased you enough. The word is work, W-O-R-K, work. Work. We worship God not just by singing and prayers and words, but by contributing to our community through work. God is pleased with work. And yes, I even mean work that you do just temporarily, as some of you will do this summer, right? Unfortunately, and I think it started before my generation, work became something to avoid and almost be proud of avoiding. Sometimes people would even brag about how they slacked off at work or fooled the boss to thinking they were being productive. Cue any episode of The Office. And if you need that, see the Sherwoods. They'll help you with that. This mentality of avoiding work is starkly unbiblical. We were made to work. You say, wait a minute. Isn't work a result of the curse? You know, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disobeying God in Genesis? Actually, no. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created in a garden that needed tending. The chapter before the disobedience reads this way, Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took them and put them in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work is not a curse. It is not a punishment. We were meant to contribute to our community and not just to consume from our community. You know, there's also a verse in 2 Thessalonians, your grandfather probably quoted to you sometime. For if a man will not work, he shall not eat. I could paraphrase it and say, first contribute to your community and then consume. By the way, do you know we're going to work in heaven? Yeah. I've already put in my request. I'm going to drive a golf cart. And I'm going to plant flowers in the most beautiful golf courses in the world, well, in heaven at that time. Now, of course, you're here to find work that you are wired for, that you love, that God leads you to. But seriously, any work is worship to our God. Work contributes to your neighborhood, your society, your world. It's dangerous to just be a consumer of adventure and entertainment and food that it becomes so habitual that you seem that it's an expected privilege or entitlement. Instead, pivot your thinking to how you can contribute to your community. You know, work also has a way of getting you outside of your head. When you work, you begin to be distracted from the emotional and mental struggles that have a way of draining you. We need that distraction, maybe now more than ever, right? So work. Find something that exhausts you, and maybe even exhausts you physically. Some of you know what I mean. You've had that kind of work where you've just been physically exhausted, and there's nothing sweeter than relaxing after that kind of exhaustion. Babysit three-year-olds. Work on a construction crew. Work at camp. Do what these people are going to do this summer. Work at McDonald's. Please work at McDonald's. Anyone who has done this knows it can be exhausting. And the rest you need is, like I said, the best leisure there is. You say, I just can't. I'm exhausted. I need to sleep. Yep, you might. You might need to take a week and sleep after this. But then work. By the way, you know the definition of leisure is break from work. So You have to work to have the leisure. If you're not working and you want leisure, well, that's another word we call laziness. And here's a bonus. You know, the hourly rates right now and the number of open jobs is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it. When I was in your position, we were trying to find jobs. There's so many options, it's crazy. And with the high hourly rates, some of you could contribute, even after some spending money, you could contribute $5,000 to your school bill. What a way to worship God. Or maybe you need to work for no pay. That's what some of these were doing. Maybe you're in a situation where you don't need to work. God has blessed you with some situation. You should still work. You were made, you were created to work. There's something fulfilling about working. So help your grandmother in the garden. Help your brother fix that car that's been sitting in the driveway forever. Build a barn, volunteer at church, community. Get tired from doing something that's not mentally pressing on your brain and or emotions. You know, it may just be summer work. And I'll tell you, this kind of work actually keeps you in college because you think, man, I don't want to do that the rest of my life, right? You've had those jobs. I had a job like that. It was hard. Are you ready for this? Some of you know this. I actually drove heavy equipment on an all-male construction crew in Detroit during my college summers. Here's a picture of the machine I drove. I was dirty by 9 a.m., filthy from dust. I was bored by 9:30. I worked long hours. It wasn't fun. I never wanted to have a career as a heavy equipment operator. My dad did that, and it was a deeply worthy and needed work, but it was not my calling. But I did it, and I was able to pay my way through college because of this work. Now, I told you I would show you a picture I've never shown in public. This is actually me on that machine. And yes, the Gilligan look was in. I was rocking it back then. Now, I know you were hoping to see a much more provocative picture. Maybe that secret picture I have of Sean in a Bethel Speedo. I need a memory eraser. By the way, I was probably the first woman to drive this kind of equipment. This is a long time ago. A Detroit TV news station came out and filmed me. There was no videos, don't worry. That doesn't exist. When they ran the piece, though, the music behind the scene was a hit from the 70s. A woman named Helen Reddy, and the song was, "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." Ask your grandparents about that one. Okay, it was a good one. So I leave you with this thought. Work is worship. Find some work this summer, paid, unpaid. Work. Get out of your head, get out of the emotional, mental struggles that you've been dealing with, and work. And therefore, He will increase in your life as you work, as worship. I want to know how you do that this summer. So you know what, in the next couple of days, and I know you're all leaving at different times next week, but as we pass on the sidewalk or something, stop me and tell me. Tell me what you're going to do this summer. I want to hear about it. I want to hear what you're doing. We also have decided that we're going to kind of create a hashtag on the Bethel Instagram page. We're going to call it BU Work as Worship. Go ahead and post on there, all right? You'll get more information about that later. But I want to see you post those on Bethel, Indiana Instagram's page. I'm going to miss you. Yeah. So these pictures that you post will help me stay connected. But I also anxiously look forward to seeing you either next Saturday, giving you a diploma, or next August, this time, same place, on this stage. Now, to continue a long tradition at Bethel, we will now stand, and Sean, without a Speedo, will lead us in Bethel's alma mater.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.